Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thank you so much, Audrey, and you did it tonight, because it says our show started like an hour and a half ago. on our studio screen, so who knows what that's all about, but you figured it all out, got it back to zero, and away we go, and we are now, where are we? 5 minutes into the show, something like that. Well, thank you very much, Audrey, we do appreciate it. I don't know what's happening. Might be, I was using Firefox browser, and it's been kind of weird this past week. Has anyone else noticed that? I don't know, but anyway. I use so many browsers when we do the show anyway, I couldn't count them. But here we go. We actually use four in one show. All right. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network, and this is the Jumbled Justice Radio Show, sometimes more jumbled than other times. I'm your host, Keith Haley. What we want to do is talk about news and events and special activities in the field of criminal justice, police, courts, correction. It's all level government, some international agencies. And tonight we're going to go right at some local stuff. We're going to be talking about, we'll be hearing Jane Kasher. She's chief of police of the Tampa Police Department. And when she's finished, we'll be hearing Thomas Forward, and he's the fire rescue chief and emergency manager for the city of Tampa, Florida. And I bet you couldn't guess the reason, right? The Republican National Convention begins Monday in Tampa, and as you can imagine, that's a special event. I've heard that Joe Biden's going down there also. He does know he's a Democrat, right? Okay. Some have actually joked about that. He might not know which convention to go to. But anyway, he's going down there too, which will complicate it with the federal agents and Secret Service and all sorts of things. TSA, I'll have a news story about that tonight. They're showing up at a lot of these political rallies in uniform, doing pat-downs, reaching into people's pockets and things like that. That's what they do best at airports, right? Emily and Mike, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Lucy is still in London, and if she isn't back next week, we're going to have her do the blonde joke from London. But I think she will be back. Talked to someone else today, was at the Olympics, and said it was an incredible event to be over there all of that time. I don't think I'm one of those people. How about you, Mike? Do you like crowds like that? I really don't. I prefer the Appalachian Trail than watching the London Olympics. But anyway, the purpose of this show is, like I said, we're going to discuss some criminal justice news and activities and processes, and protecting a national political party convention is a big job, as you can imagine. And the money comes from where? Ooh, get local people, and sometimes it comes from tax people and taxpayers nationwide, who knows. But our show is dedicated to those police, courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who protect us throughout the United States and the world. So we'll take a close-up look at what they do tonight or what they're planning on doing in Tampa, Florida. And, of course, you got the awful consequence that could happen of the hurricane showing up there. And we hope it doesn't make coast anywhere, but particularly Florida. So Republicans can have their convention, and the Democrats can have theirs. And then after that, what, a few weeks, we have something called an election. Marvelous thing to have. Most countries, well, many countries in the world don't have that. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and I tell people about this all the time, and they're shocked that you could actually get a radio show and sign up for one in about 5 minutes. But any person, interest group, organization can have their own radio show, and there's all kinds of people that got one. So you can do that. Go to blogtalkradio.com and do that. And when you do broadcast your show worldwide, it is archived. In fact, I went back to the podcast directory here not too long ago and picked up one of my shows that I used some of the information for relative to teaching. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. And tonight, I told you, we're going to be listening to these two important professionals in the city of Tampa. And they're going to have a big job up it. They'll be glad. They'll be wanting to go on a vacation after they finish that week of the convention. All right, you can actually call in if you wanted to do the news segment. 347-996-5983. One more time, 347-996-5983. We can hold 50 calls. We usually have none, so that's easy to negotiate. All right, we have a blonde joke tonight. And Mike, are you going to do this one, or did you hire someone to do it? Let's hear the blonde joke for tonight. Let's see if we can. Did you find it, Mike? Is it connected? I thought you said you had a blonde joke for tonight. You do? Okay, go ahead and play that one if you want. Hello.
A blonde pushes her BMW. She tells the mechanic, "It died." After working on the car for only a few minutes, it runs nicely and idles smoothly. A blonde pushes her BMW into a gas station. She tells the mechanic, "It died." After working on the car for only a few minutes, it runs nicely and idles smoothly. The young lady asks, "What's the story?" The mechanic replies, "Just crap in the carburetor." After a few moments' contemplation, the blonde asks, "How often do I have to do that?"
I will tell you, Firefox is a little messed up tonight, but we'll have to put up with it because that's what we logged in with. Mr. Google would certainly do better. Don't tell Mr. Firefox that, or whoever he is. But anyway, that's our bond joke for tonight. In the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Possession, Ohio Gun Coalition, they have a public service announcement they would like you to make. And maybe we could broadcast this stuff in Chicago that is, we mentioned last week, is now, in terms of large cities in the world, they've now become the murder capital of the world and city here in Chicago. Their murder rate now is over 19 per 100,000. And that's about three times what it is in a lot of other big cities. So Chicago needs to work on that. I mean, that's terrible that that's going on. But here's the message that I hope the criminals hear and go turn in their guns.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Thank you very much, Ohio Coalition. And we want to do a green tip tonight, as we always do. And this is from the fabulous book by Esma Floyd, 1001 Little Ways to Save the Planet. And as the temperature begins to turn a little bit, it hasn't turned very quickly, down, you need to go buy some drapes. This is tip number 111, and it says, to help preserve heat in winter evenings, cover windows or French doors with heavy floor-length curtains to help reduce drafts and so conserve heat in the room. In very cold houses, it's a good idea to hang heavy drapes over doors and doorways also. So there you are. Go buy some drapes, and it's cheaper than paying heat bills, and you're saving energy. That's the most important thing. So let's take a look at some news here tonight, see what's going on in the field of criminal justice, and we'll conveniently open up our Evernote. I don't know if you people ever use Evernote. A lot of people know about it. Some people don't. I talk to people that never heard of Evernote, but it is unlimited note keeping and as many notebooks as you want to make. It's just absolutely fantastic. How many have I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I've got 16 different notebooks, if you can believe that. Isn't that something? And you can store your stuff in there, and it's there forever. Certainly beats stacking stuff in notebooks, because you wouldn't have a room enough to keep all that stuff. The TSA, remember them, the Transportation Security Agency? I spoke with one on the phone, actually, this week. They're systematically moving toward the out of the nation's airports and conducting more and more operations on the street. And the latest example of this, they were actually an event organized by Mitt Romney, his running mate, Paul Ryan, this past weekend in the Villages in Florida. And the Secret Service were there, of course, but TSA was right with them in uniform. And what they're doing is they're expanding their reach, so to speak, and they're going out there and they're broadening their horizons in terms of transportation security. And one of the witnesses there said he saw 6 TSA agents alongside the uniformed Secret Service detail, not to be confused with the men in black-looking agents. But they were actually out there conducting checkpoints and pat-downs and that kind of thing. The agents, they'd been spotted roaming the streets in public events prior to this. They go to sports games and music concerts and even high school proms. I'm trying to think. The National Government Transportation Security Agency is going to our high school proms. Now, is that something found in the Constitution or in our laws? I don't get it. But the TSA even moved beyond its borders this summer as agents were dispatched to airports in London for the Olympic Games. Thank you for paying your taxes. Did you know that you sent TSA, United States TSA agents, to the Olympic Games in London? So it's they're expanding their Viper program, and they're doing that by they're doing roadside inspections of commercial vehicles. Has anybody seen that happen? I've not seen that. They're setting up a network of internal checkpoints and roll out security procedures already active in airports, bus terminals, and subway stations, and other roads across the United States. So there could be a TSA agent in your life somewhere, and you don't have to be flying an airplane anymore. So this Checkpoint USA, as one of the authors says here in the news story, this is going to be something we're going to be seeing more of. And he mentions the fact that perhaps this is a Soviet-style police operation. I mean, this isn't the country that we, with a Fourth Amendment and protections against illegal searches and seizures, that means pat-downs, reasonable suspicion, you need that somebody's armed and dangerous, especially when you're out on the street. Now, if you're in an airport, then you sign away your rights to be searched or not be searched. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. How about this one? Now, here's the future, folks. Scientists, they've now developed a formula to forecast our future movements through phone software. They can tell us when our train is going to come. They can help us when we're lost and letting us watch our favorite TV shows, that kind of thing. There seems to be no limit to what these smartphones will do nowadays. Now the gadget promises something even more advanced that verges on the supernatural. It will know exactly what you're going to do tomorrow. I said it. It will know exactly what you are going to do tomorrow. Audrey, why are you shaking your head? No. I know you don't know anything you shouldn't be doing, but scientists have found a way of predicting an individual's future movements by analyzing information from their mobile phone. Actually, that's not too hard to figure out, right? If you got kind of a routine and a pattern, you stop at a coffee shop before work, or you go to one of three places for lunch or something like that, they're going to know that. But a team of these computer scientists at the University of Birmingham, they predicted future locations with an error margin of just within 60 feet. And this is fuel privacy concerns all over the United States, and some people are saying this is a privacy invasion. While mobile phone networks can already track where a handset is in real time, the scientists have developed an algorithm or formula to forecast our future movements. And that's going to be very interesting to see how that works. The study used mobile phone data in Lausanne in Switzerland. So he said information extracted from the usage of a mobile phone is an intriguing source of data about people behavior. I can imagine, particularly these people that never lay the thing down, right? Talk, whatever. Everywhere they go, they've got it in their hand. So many people can't even remember their name. They're so stuck to their phones. Let me check and see what my name is. I'm sure I have it stored here somewhere. But isn't that interesting? I mean, of course, Mr. Google said it himself. We know what you're thinking before you think it. So this is the outgrowth of something like that. The Ogden Police Department isn't satisfied that they were turned down by the FAA when they wanted to start flying pretty soon, 400 feet in the air. They wanted to fly their new surveillance blimp. And a lot of people aren't happy with that. In a letter sent to the FAA by John Greiner, the Ogden police chief attempted to assure the federal agency that the blimp, UAS surveillance blimp, the police department planned to use was worthy and safe. The FAA said it might be a hazard. You know, something could happen, it could fall and hurt people. But from a height of just 400 feet in the sky, the dirigible would use its camera system to spot suspicious activity on the streets and send the footage back to the police headquarters. So here you got a bunch of other people reading data, watching videos like we do with our surveillance cameras, where 99% of the stuff isn't worth the plug nickel. But they'll be doing that anyway. Hey, I'm judging ahead of time. It may be the most wonderful thing I've ever seen, but I doubt it. So think about that. You're very shortly here, within several months. It's all been approved. The FAA has forecast that 30,000 surveillance drones will be in the U.S. skies by the end of the decade. Isn't that something? And I'll bet they'll hurry it up faster than that. And who will prompt that? That will be prompted by the manufacturers of the drones, of the blimps, et cetera. So very interesting. U.S. law enforcement agencies are already using drone technology to spy on Americans. A Predator B drone was called in to conduct surveillance over a family farm in North Dakota. You've probably heard about that one. As part of a SWAT raid on the Broussard family, who were suspects in the egregious crime of stealing missing cows. So we used drones along with a SWAT team to get this family that was cattle rustling. They were stealing missing cows. Terrible. I won't go on, but the article goes on a long time. University of Colorado is one of those schools that allows students to carry concealed weapons if they have a license or a permit, as they call it in Colorado. And they're actually putting them in separate housing facilities. In other words, everybody in a particular house will have a gun permit, and they also require permit holders to store the gun in a safe when it's not being carried. So it also bars concealed weapons from other residential areas and from ticketed athletic and cultural events, which is probably good. It's going to be interesting to see how that actually turns out. That's something, isn't it? That is really something. Well, we've done it here just recently. The Dream Relief Workshops help children of illegals brought into the United States to apply for a work permit and even a driver's license. And this happened this past week in Chicago. And it says Navy Pier in Chicago is the new Ellis Island. And the organizers, it turned out that more than 11,000 young people showed up to get this permit. And they're illegals. They're the children. They were brought here. They had to be brought here before they were 16 years of age, but some of them are now like 30 or 31 years of age. So they're now asking for this amnesty and this to get a permit. And they can get a driver's license, and then they can work and stay in the United States as if they weren't going to stay anyway. So it's kind of interesting. What do our laws actually mean? But the new policy was set aside by President Barack Obama. This summer it took effect and will allow more than 75,000 young undocumented immigrants in Illinois alone and 1.7 million across the country the temporary right to live and work openly in the country. Now, can we interpret what temporary means? Temporary will turn to permanent almost overnight, is my anticipation about all this. But anyway, there you go. Now, most people think a prison, what in the world would you want a prison in your community for? This is kind of interesting. In Maryland, they built a prison when the first, this is Westover, Maryland, when the first 50 inmates arrived at 3 p.m. on August 12th. In 1987, it seemed all eyes were on the state's newest prison, which had been fraught with controversy and had divided Somerset County over the two preceding decades. Now, hidden behind a buffer of trees that has grown lush and tall over the past 25 years, Eastern Correctional Institution, which has become the largest prison in Maryland and one of the biggest economic engines on the lower shore. The facility now has 3,202 inmates, employs 1,000 area residents, and has an annual operating budget of $100 million. Are prisons good? They're bad for the criminals, but they're good for people that need a job. Particularly, they put a lot of them out in the country anyway. That was a plan years ago to put them, it still is, to put them away from towns and cities. And it's worked out pretty good. So if you want a prison in your community, don't resist. I mean, if they're talking about one, I wouldn't resist it because you're going to employ a lot of people. And there's a lot of ancillary type of businesses that can work for the prison too. You have to supply them meat and groceries and, you know, on and on and on. So that will be an interesting thing if you get a chance to have a prison in your community. And when they escape, they don't stop at your town. That's one good thing about that. They keep going. People say, boy, let the prisoners get out. You know, well, they ain't stopping in the town where the prisoner is or where the prison is. They are taking off. Okay, that's our news for tonight. What we're going to try to do now is crank up this story from Chief Jane Castor. She's chief of police of the Tampa Police Department, and she's going to be talking about their plans to get ready for the Republican National Convention this coming Monday. So give me a chance to set this up.
For the convention. Thank you, Linda. I just wanted to go over a little bit about what the police department has done to prepare for this event. But before I do that, I want everyone to know that the first element of any special event deployment is that we cover the neighborhoods. We want to make sure that there is no reduction in service to any of our neighborhoods, and the RNC is no different in that. Every neighborhood will have the same number of officers that you have any other day of the year. And then we use all of the officers that, in addition to that, to function within the RNC. And this takes about 3,500 to 4,000 police officers in order to secure an event of this magnitude. Now, obviously, we don't have that number within Hillsborough County or in the Tampa Bay area. So we have partnered with other law enforcement agencies throughout the state to come here and assist us with this event. Now, there are actually two events that are going on. You have the political event inside the secure zone, and that is controlled by Matt Miller and the Secret Service. And that process is to elect a candidate for presidency. And then you have the event on the outside of the secure zone that we're responsible for, and that is where people will be able to come and express their viewpoints and exercise their First Amendment rights. Both of those processes are equally as important, and it's our job to ensure that everyone has a safe platform on which to express their views. The community-oriented policing is not a philosophy. It's not a division, a bureau within the Tampa Police Department. It is our philosophy. It is our way of life that defines the Tampa Police Department, and that's the way that we've been able to reduce crime so dramatically over the last 9 years. We've reduced Part 1 crime in the city of Tampa by 64.3%. We've reduced auto theft by over 90%, and we've done that through this community policing approach. We're going to use that same approach with the RNC. All of you have seen a map of the event zone. Within that event zone will be broken down into four smaller geographic areas. Each of those geographic areas will be overseen by a commander from the Tampa Police Department or the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. And then within those areas, there'll be smaller geographic areas, especially in the downtown, of several blocks that officers will be assigned to. And they'll be assigned throughout the RNC so that everybody will get to know them. The business owners, the residents, the visitors, they'll get to know the officers in that area. The officers will get to know their area as well. And we believe that that will be very, very successful. We obviously have the ability to expand and contract upon that. If we had crowd management issues in a particular area, we have the ability to send officers in there. I'm going to show you a photograph on the next slide of the uniforms that you will see. I know everybody loves this beautiful 100% polyester dark blue uniform that we use, but we are going to be using a khaki-colored uniform that is cotton. And the reason that we chose that is twofold. One, it's cooler for the officers. Number two, it's more approachable. It has a friendlier look, so people won't hesitate to come forward to the police officers and approach them. The crowd management gear, what the police department affectionately refers to as the turtle gear, you'll see a photograph of that as well. And that will be donned whenever there is an issue of public safety or a large crowd that we will have to deal with. It's our hope that no one will see that, but that's probably unrealistic on our part. Our job is to identify individuals that are bent on disruption or destruction and remove them from the crowd as quickly as possible so that we can restore that peaceful environment in which individuals will be able to demonstrate. Vast majority of the individuals that are coming to Tampa to express their point of view, to demonstrate, will do so peacefully. There will be a very small group that will be, as I said, bent on disruption and destruction, and we will be dealing with those individuals. Now, we have done a great deal to communicate with all levels of individuals that are involved with the RNC, for example, the town hall meetings. We have had meetings with the business managers our building managers in the downtown area. We've met with Harbor Island, Davis Island. We have met with a lot of individuals to try to communicate exactly what to expect and what they'll be seeing during this event. We've also communicated with the individuals that are coming to Tampa to demonstrate. We've participated in two panels with the ACLU, and I participated in an hour-and-a-half national webinar call-in dealing with the RNC that was hosted by the ACLU. And frankly, the ACLU was singing our song. They were telling everyone that they do not support any criminal activity, and their expectation is that everyone will follow or abide by the lawful orders of any police officer. And they also said that there will be individuals in the crowd whose job is to incite everyone into taking actions that they normally wouldn't take. And they cautioned individuals throughout the hour and a half to not get involved in that and not fall prey to that. So, again, it's our job to ensure that everybody has safe time, and that everybody gets to express their viewpoints. As was stated by Linda Carlo, we have a parade route, but we know that there will be spontaneous events. We're communicating with those individuals as well so that we can develop a route and a process that will be advantageous to everyone. So we certainly do expect that as well. Here's the uniforms that I talked about. On the left is what you'll see on a day-to-day basis, and then on the bottom is what we affectionately refer to as our turtle gear. Now, we have done a great deal of training for the RNC. Officers get 10 days of training. We have intensive crowd management training that's put on by the Department of Homeland Security, and that involves 3 days of training that every officer that is involved in crowd management has gone through. We've also done a great deal of training on the philosophy of enforcement and First Amendment training. One of what I call the golden rule at the Tampa Police Department is that everyone is treated with dignity and respect. Everyone. There's no exception to that rule. And that's the same thing with the RNC. And obviously, that is a cornerstone of law enforcement, and all officers would be expected to treat everyone with dignity and respect. But again, we're reinforcing this with all of the officers that are coming to assist us with this event. We've done 5 sessions of 2-day-long supervisor and commander training. This isn't your everyday policing where an officer deals one-on-one with a witness, a victim, a suspect. This is group policing. The officers will be expected to act as a group on the commander's instruction and not act individually. And we have trained all of the supervisors and commanders and let them know that we have set the bar very high and our expectations of their leadership in these incidents, that they are to ensure that the officers are showing restraint, that they bring in an extra supply of patience with them, and that they only act on the commander's orders. And then Sheriff David G. and myself did a tape message that, again, reinforces the tone and the philosophy of our enforcement for the RNC, and every officer that's coming here saw that that tape. And then if that wasn't enough, we wanted to make sure that this stuck with every officer, so we have an e-learning test that all of the officers have been obligated to take and pass. So we have done a great deal of training, and we believe that everyone will be prepared. Frankly, everyone is prepared for this event and to ensure that it is positively reflects on the city of Tampa.
Well, it sounds like the chief has thought about this for some time. There's no question about that. What we're going to do now is listen to the fire chief. He's going to be talking about what he's preparing to do for this particular convention. I think I've got a link for that right here. Let's go ahead. Let's see. Yes, this is Chief Thomas Forward.
Thank you, Chief Kasman. Again, greetings to each of you. As the mayor introduced me earlier, in addition to being your City of Tampa Fire Chief, I also wear the hat of the emergency manager and responsible for the Office of Emergency Management. In that particular office is somewhat like your mission control. The mayor has put that at the stood up with this event to ensure that we maintain oversight of all the initiatives that will be going on and will be occurring during the City of Tampa and during this huge event. But in addition to this grand party that we're going to be having, understand that the regular concerns and the regular issues and actions of day-to-day operations of the City of Tampa will continually to go on and will continually to occur. With that, we have to maintain the health and fitness in that environment and provide the mayor real-time information on what's happening in that arena. The Office of Emergency Management has a specific location and a specific center referred to as the Emergency Operations Center. Now, obviously, what my duties as the fire chief
and with my duties and functions as the emergency manager, I could not do this without the help of a very, very professional and very capable staff. In the rear of the room, I have both of my assistant chiefs, my chief of operations, Chief Scotty Ellers, who is responsible for all of our suppression operations, all of those units that are out there in the community that will be responding, Chief Nicholas Cicero as my chief of administration, and my rescue chief, who is responsible for moving all of those rescue cars, you refer to them as ambulances, in the event there are any major situations, concerns, health needs, and things of that nature. He also chairs the health and medical subcommittee, which has looked at every respective posture and every concern and consideration that we will have during this RNC. Now, obviously, one of the major concerns that we have at this time, at this particular time of the year, is we are in a season which is our most inclement weather season with respect to hurricanes, tropical storms, tornadic activity, and just bad weather patterns. Because of that, in the Emergency Operations Center, every respective community committee, and as you saw, the many members that have already gotten up and spoken, each of those divisions and departments will have representation in the Emergency Operations Center for obvious reasons. They will have the ability to provide real-time information, command and control type of information with respect to what's going on with the boots on the ground of those persons that are out there be involved in the actual action-oriented posture in the, whether it's in the convention center area or doing our regular operational posturing in the city. Severe weather absolutely provides us a concern. So embedded in the EOC will also be the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service will be there for a main reason to provide us, again, real-time data on atmospheric conditions and weather patterns that might impact our community as well as the RNC. It's very hot during this time of the year. One of the main concerns we've had, and we've heard your voices, we've heard from you, that with respect to everything that's going on, persons are going to be dropping and overcome because of the heat index. That's true. With that, we have stood up major hydration stations throughout all of the viewing routes, throughout the parade routes and those things as well. We have a number of portalettes as well. In the event that persons need to relieve themselves in those areas, we will have a number of major communities of nothing more than portalettes. And I think our chief of staff referred to them because we've got so many, as for the most part, either a portalette deal or are, for the most part, a honey pocket deal, you know. So we'll have those areas and those pieces will be provided. We will have a first aid station out there for those members who do not recognize or are not recognized early on as having been impacted negatively by the heat index so that we can get those persons into these first aid stations, get them rehydrated, or in the event that it requires, move them up to a more advanced medical procedure or protocol to ensure their health and fitness. Again, as I told you earlier, in addition to emergency management, in addition to providing the mayor real-time information on the care and the fitness with respect to the entire city, not just the RNC, but every other community that you might think is going to be impacted by us putting a major focus on the RNC, I'm here to tell you as your fire chief and your emergency manager, you can expect no degradation in service in your respective communities. We will still, and my chiefs in the back, my assistant chiefs, have been very instrumental in decentralizing emergency response vehicles to make certain that we have the optimal response protocols in place to get those units to you, whether you need a fire truck, ladder truck, or a rescue car. We have your back, so you can rest assured on that. Just a couple of picture views of what the Emergency Operations Center looks like, and it's going to be activated, and the mayor calls us that to stand up anytime we have any of these types of events that you see up on your screen, whether it's a natural disaster, flood, hurricanes, tornadoes, man-made disasters, or any of these things, terrorism, civil disturbances, major events, whether it's a Super Bowl, Gasparilla, or an event that we have a big dance like we're getting ready to have, or a big party that we're getting ready to entertain. The EOC has stood up to provide that oversight continuous to the boss, real time, with respect not only again to the health and fitness of the RNC, all of our parties, all of our departments. We provide information on what's going on with public works, what's going on with fire, PD, stormwater, waterworks, all of that real time impact so that we can be expeditious in making certain that those areas are as operative as you have become accustomed to during these processes.
The lore, and you see the top picture, is a outline of what an EOC looks like. Again, every respective department, every division in this community, including our private partners as well, and our not-for-profit partners as well, are included with real folks in these that can make command decisions about those services. The lore area, and you're going to get more from Ms. Anna Glisser, the mayor's PAO, is a call sign. The mayor recognized that it was going to be very easily for the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, to become overwhelmed with a bunch of concerns and calls concerning the RNC. We have this call center. He's made this call center stand up 12 functional positions to provide all the information that you're going to need regarding the RNC. So we're going to ask that you focus on calling the RNC for RNC-specific questions or concerns and the EOC for City of Tampa concerns, whether it's your water, your sewer, or whatever, traffic, transportation, things of that nature. Run that through our EOC. These are some of the many units and divisions and departments that will be represented, and this is just to name a few, all the way from the American Red Cross to even FEMA, all the way from our Hillsborough County's Emergency Operations Center personnel as well, our National Weather Service, obviously because of the weather patterns that we're going to be experiencing, the revenue and finance for any capital situations or expenditures that we might have to entertain, even the State Department of Emergency Management will also involve. The Tampa Code Enforcement, Tampa Electric Company, those persons, in the event that we have electrical allergies or any type of energy concerns there as well, TPD, our Solid Waste Department, TNI, and obviously our DOD partners as well. U.S. Coast Guard has been an awesome friend of ours for a number of years, and they will be embedded in there, too, to provide guidance, oversight, and all of those things as well. That EOC main number that I want all of you to be familiar with, 813-274-7700. In the event it's a city concern, a city function, or a city department, that's the number I want you to call. The flyers that the mayor has called to go out in a number of venues, and you'll continually get those things for RNC-specific information, I would ask that you use that number for RNC to contact about specific information surrounding that initiative. Obviously, this is the big dance out on the water. Severe weather operations. That has the propensity to happen. There will be increased coordination with the National Weather Service for optimal reasons so that we can get that information out, get that information to the mayor, and that coordination with the RNC committee and those officials so that they can make informed decisions on any operations, any type of events that are going to be surrounding their RNC event. Visitors information will be continuous and ongoing, regular street closures, any conditions that we feel certain that our community needs to be made aware in order to minimize any negative impact that this big event might have. And obviously, we want you to monitor all of your local news channels and your radios for any information that may be going out. Now I'm going to be bringing up Allie. Well, before I bring Allie up, the hydration stations, porta toilets, and the medical stations. We have tremendous partners in this community, and the Salvation Army is one of those major partners that really, really provides the tremendous support to ensure the health and fitness. And they will be down in the parade routes, along those corridors, underneath the crosstowns and all those other areas, ensuring and helping with distributions of water, hydration materials, making certain that the porta-johns and the porta-potties are enough. And we'll be providing oversight as well as working in our medical station, which is our first aid station, to provide any assistance that you might need as well.
Well, it doesn't sound like the chief has forgotten much, has he? never wanted a job where they had to decide where the porta potties are. But anyway, it's an important thing, and it'll be an event to watch, as will be the Democratic convention coming up shortly thereafter. But this is all supposed to start Monday, if the weather holds. If one of the hurricanes touches coast there, I think he'll probably can or postpone it to some later date. But I was impressed with both the police chief and the fire chief and the emergency manager, and in terms of the planning that's gone into this, I thought it was interesting that the chief said that she was having her officers change the color of their uniform so that they would be more approachable. And the uniform they were going to wear, you couldn't see it, but they put it up on a PowerPoint slide, uniform that they were going to wear was a khaki, light khaki cotton uniform, as they said. And the uniform she has on, speaking to the Congress here, she has on a dark, very dark blue long sleeve shirt type of dress uniform. Well, it's not dress, that's her work uniform. But anyway, I've never actually heard a chief say in the open, "Do clothes make the banker?" Of course they do. But I've never heard one say in public like that, that we're going to change uniforms so that we'll be more approachable. I guess you go down to T-shirts. I see that all the time with police departments. I'm not a fan of that, by the way. I just don't think that gets it, no matter how hot it is or wherever. I don't think our police department, I think you should be able to tell the police department from, you know, the police officers from the hoods on the street, let's put it that way. But anyway, I think that's that'll probably do it for tonight. We're up to 9:46. I was going to play a little bit more about Media Benjamin's book on drones, and I had another source for that, not the one from Book TV, where she was commenting to a San Francisco news station, and maybe we'll pick that up next week. But she got a lot to say about that. I've ordered that book, by the way. I want to read it, so it'll be coming pretty quick. Not as quick as I thought. Usually Amazon will get that stuff to you like a day or two, but this one that says it's going to take perhaps almost a week. Must be a hard book to get. Okay, that's what we're doing tonight. We're all finished, and we'll ask you to tune in next week, and we'll ask Vera Lynn to sign us off with that beautiful song she says, or sings, "We'll Meet Again." Good night.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing song. We'll meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.